head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome in. This is Rick Redding, your host for the Rusty Satellite Show, where every week you find that I will introduce you to some of the most interesting people in the Ville. And this is no exception this week. Went out and found some really great guests, some things I'm really interested in, and I think you'll really like it. But first up, I want to give a quick thank you to my sponsors. And we had some big news from my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, this week. They submitted plans for their new headquarters down on 18th and Broadway. Very exciting stuff. They're going to build a four-story building there, 355,000 square feet, according to the plans that have been submitted to the city. There's also going to be a 178,000 square foot parking garage for 582 spaces. Now, that is a flat piece of land there. They used to make cigarettes there. It is just a big boon for West Louisville. And, you know, a few months ago we had Mark Carter on the show. He is the president and CEO of Passport Health Plans. And, you know, he's a guy that follows through. You know, we heard a lot about that and wondered if anything was going to happen. Well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Congratulations to Passport. I'm really happy to hear that they're doing what they're doing over there. Also, this show is sponsored by the Eye Care Institute. And if you have any vision issues, there's nothing more important than being able to see. And they can really help you down at the Eye Care Institute. It's 502-589-1500, whether you need routine vision test, which I'm about due for one, or you want to try something a little more complicated. If you have a problem or if you just want to see better through LASIK, they're the leading LASIK place in this city. So anyway, Eye Care Institute is the place to go. So anyway, let's talk about what's on the show. Now, in the second part of the show, I'm very excited. I'm going to introduce you to a guy named Pai Cherisika. And Pai and I go back a long ways, and his brother Tendai was on this show a couple months ago, I guess. He is the CEO of Superfan U, which is a great company down in Germantown Mills Lofts. Well, his older brother Pai has started a company called Sippin'. It's an app for meeting people and finding friends in new towns, and it is just getting started. And he told me about it. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought I would share that with you here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Pai is an engaging guy and very personable, very fun to talk to. So he's got an exciting new company just in the formation stages out there, but they do have a website and things are going strong for it. And you'll hear a lot about it in the later part of the show. But first up, I'm really excited. I heard the other day, I saw on Facebook that there was going to be a CD release party at Saints for this CD that contains a number of, it contains 24 songs done by friends of Tim Krekel, the late legendary local musician Tim Krekel, and his friends got together and recorded some songs that Tim had written. And it was very common. It's been 8 years since Tim died, and 8 years since these songs were recorded. But now we are finally going to get to hear them, and I cannot wait till later on today. I'm going to start listening to the CD. Steve Eilers was a good friend of Tim's. Played music with him, designed his covers, the covers of his albums. And those of you who follow the music scene in Louisville certainly are familiar with the work of Tim Krekel. He's just the most beloved musician I think this town has ever seen. Well, Steve is a very close friend, and I want you to listen to the story that he tells about how this CD and all these songs came about. Now, the CD has some favorite musicians on it, including former Rusty Satellite Show guest Bridget Kalin, who does, we talk about the song Blues as Blues Can Get. That is what Steve called the best blues song of all time. I can't disagree. That is an Awesome. Awesome song. I can't wait to hear Bridget's version. And all these people are going to be Saturday night. 18 of the 24 artists that are on the CD are going to be at this party at Saints on Saturday. So, and you'll be able to pick up a CD there. The proceeds go to MRF, the Musicians Emergency Relief Fund. And it's just an all-around great, great, great thing. And you just can't help but get a smile on your face. I love talking to Steve when he was here in the studio on Wednesday. So I'm going to let you listen to that, and I'll be back with more of the Rusty Satellite Show after the interview.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
And today I'm very excited to be in studio with Steve Eilers. Steve, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, Steve, the reason you're here, of course, there is a big, big event on Saturday at Saints honoring a man who is a legend around here, Tim Kreckle. Tell me about, first of all, just about the event.
The event will be at Saints this Saturday, I think a couple days from now. 8 o'clock upstairs, and it ought to be a real riot.
It should be. There's going to be a lot of people performing.
I think they've got, I heard, 18 of the 26 people that recorded.
Wow.
On the album. I think they got 18 people.
Okay.
Including Jason Kreckle.
Oh, well, very, very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about this happening. Now, you are a longtime friend of Tim's, and you were telling me that shortly before he died, he made a request of you that ended up being the genesis of this project this week, right?
Yeah, that's correct. As I said before, Tim called me a Sunday morning, weeks before he had passed away, and from his hospital room. And I went down to visit him that Sunday morning and had a short visit. And before I left, I asked him what I could do or for him. And he said, I know what you can do. You can get my friends to record my songs.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, because I was thought he was going to say, bring me back, you know, some cupcakes.
How about a sandwich?
Or a sandwich or something. And he said, no, I want my friends to record my songs. And it was just like, wow. So when I got home, I got on the phone right away. And I called Howie Gano, number first one.
Right.
And a number of the other recording engineers. And I started getting on the phone calling the artist.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Mickey Clark, maybe in the first one I called. And by the end of the day, Sunday, I had contacted, I don't know, maybe 20 people or more.
Yeah.
And told them all of the urgency. Let's get some stuff done. And
most of these people, just to be clear for our audience, are people who perform locally. A lot of them have performed with Tim.
Yeah, a lot of people have, these folks have performed with Tim. The fun thing about this is that a lot of these are not professional musicians. A lot of these people are just friends of Tim's,
okay.
Talented, no doubt, but not working musicians, so to speak.
Right.
A number of them are, I know.
And so the urgency of the project was to get it done so that Tim could hear it.
That was it. You know, the urgency was, let's get this done now. And I told people originally, you know, don't make a production of it. I said, open up your computer, flip the switch, and a number of people did, like John Mann. I called him. He was in Nashville. And I said, John, I need something tomorrow. You know, and
yeah.
He flipped open his, I think his laptop, recorded his piece on his laptop.
Wow.
With his little girl in the background, Etta. And Tim had written a song, Always Keep the Light On, for this little girl when she
wow.
was born. And John Mann's performance, all of them are just over the top.
Okay.
Great.
Now, you've got a song on here, too. Tell me about your song.
My song was, I put Glimpse of Paradise. And Tim had done kind of a country thing with that. And I kind of made it more of a Dan Hicks thing.
Okay.
But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you my favorite Kreckle song, because later performed by Delbert McClinton, blues as blues can get.
The best blues song ever written.
I think it is.
The
I think
best blues song ever written.
And I haven't listened to the Bridget Kaelin performance on it here, and I haven't heard that yet. Tell me about that.
There's no words. I'm telling you, you just have to listen to this. There are just no words. I just believe this is just the best of the best. I could go on about it, but there's no words, so I have to stop right there. My favorite is actually the very first song that Jimmy Gardner does. It's called a song called Perfect World. And there's a line in that song that says, within these words and melodies. That's where Tim's life. Mm-hmm. You know, it was within these words and melodies. And Jimmy knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, yeah.
As do everybody, I'd say.
Well, it sounds great. Now, let's tell people real quick how they, if they show up at Saints, you can buy one of these or make a donation.
I think it's make a donation, and I think the Tim's children, Anna and Katie, they've made some T-shirts, some special T-shirts for the events, and they may have some of Tim's CDs from the past up there. I'm not really sure about that, but this CD will be available for a donation, and it ought to be just again a ruckus time with 18. artists and
and the money goes to Musicians Emergency Relief Fund, MERF.
MERF would get right exactly.
Well, that's great. Now, for the people, I mean, it's been 8 years, and I mean, you had this project right before Tim died. 8 years to get this CD published. What happened there? Tell me a little bit about why it took so long.
Well, it took so long because, as I said earlier, the legalities involved with so many people owning these songs. You know, mm-hmm. Tim was working for, I believe, Blue Water Publishing, and I don't understand, and not to have real grip on the legalities of all this music business, but I know a lot of these people are under contract, and a lot of these songs were, it had been probably a mess trying to work out who would get what part of what, and there's not going to be a lot of this wasn't going to.
Right, nobody's getting any money. It's just a labor, sort of
labor of love. Right.
Labor of love. Well, Steve, tell me a little bit about Tim. For people that you know, he's been gone for 8 years now. A lot of people remember him, but plenty of people in music never got to meet him or see him live. You had a special relationship with him.
A lot of people have heard his songs because they were recorded by, as you said, Delbert McClinton, Crystal Gayle, Patti Loveless. And a lot of his songs were taken to number one on the charts. Turning Away with Crystal Gayle made number one. And I think Cry on the Shoulder of the Road with Martina McBride made top in the charts. So people have heard his material and heard his songs, whether they knew it or not. But Tim was an extremely special guy. It's just there was just no one like him on or off stage, you know. On stage, truly one of the most talented people we've had in this pass through here. And off stage, equally, just a real gentleman, a very, very special person. He's a saint.
He was, and he considered Louisville, of course, home, but he did a lot for Louisville, I think, in terms of kept performing here. I don't know if he passed up opportunities to go elsewhere, but, you know, he is known for his relationship with his hometown.
Right. Tim loved Louisville. He loved the people here. He had felt his roots were here, and which got him back here. One of the funniest stories I remember hearing from Tim is Tim was a very humble person. Let's put it this way. He didn't brag. He had to drag things out of him. When I was a friend of mine and Al Mareschi, we were doing an album jacket. We wanted to do know the history. Tim, tell us where you've been. What's going on? We'll put a biography where they put.
Right.
And we just had to literally pull information out of him. He just didn't brag about anything, and he had so much to brag about. We hear something on the radio. It could be Tony Joe White's. Oh, I like that. And Tim would, oh, yeah, I played with him so-and-so, and I played with this guy.
Yeah.
He's played and met everybody that there is in Nashville. But he tells me one time that the Blues Brothers, John, Don Aykroyd, those guys, when they were starting up that whole operation, they called him because who's the harmonica? John Belushi.
Okay.
He had come into a gig that Tim was doing with his harmonica, and his manager said, "We got John here. Can you get him up?" And John come up and played the whole night. And at the end of the night, John Belushi told everybody there, he said, "This is the best guitar player I've ever heard in my life." And in the Tim didn't hear anything more about it. Till weeks later, he gets a call from John Belushi and says, I'm going to start a band called the Blues Brothers. I want you as my guitar player.
Wow.
And they were going, you've got to be kidding me. And I said, Tim, why don't you mention that? He said, well, for one thing, John Belushi's nothing in the music business. It didn't help me at all with that.
Yeah.
And I said, but...
did he turn it down? He didn't become a Blues Brother.
No, he didn't. He had a child on the way and was just a devoted family man at the time and passed that up because he knew he'd be on the road. Just
yeah,
he'd be a very busy guy, but he could have been one of the blues guys.
Well, that's interesting. Now, your history, I know you told me you're a graphic designer, and you designed how many of his albums, do you think?
Most of them.
Most of them.
I know Debbie and his son had done some of them. But I did, yeah, I guess maybe five or six of the CD covers for him.
Okay. And did you actually play the bands with him? Or
I played, Tim had a number of bands, a number mm-hmm. of groups. He had TKO, the big band, and that was the big group with Mike Alger playing drums and Mike Murphy and Don Adams playing horns and a number of different people over the years playing, you know, bass and drums. Mike Williams was playing with Tim for the last many years. And he also had these acoustic gigs throughout the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I played with him with Eddie Heisinger. The three of us played majority of those, probably for 10 years.
Okay.
Here in town, I started that at Mayor's, and I played all over Louisville, usually the middle of the week,
yeah.
an acoustic gig, and again, Eddie and I did most of those gigs for sure for
yeah.
probably 10
Well,
years.
It seems like he did a lot for musicians in general in this town.
Tim was so gracious. He was one of the most gracious people you'll ever meet, and all the gigs I did with him over those 10 years, if he saw somebody in the crowd, he'd call them out. Come on up and sing a song.
Yeah.
It could be Judy Tyler. It could be Kevin O'Brien. There's a number of people who, again, are not professionals, but he'd call these people up and let them get into the mix.
Right.
And he had a great time with it.
Wow. Well, it's really great to have this CD finally out, and I know there's a lot of people in Louisville know a lot of these musicians. It's a great tribute to Tim, I think. And it's just a great thing. Saturday night at Saints, anybody can come. And,
Saturday night at Saints, yeah, I'll be there at 8 to probably wee hours.
There you go.
But yeah, probably we've got 18 of the 26 people on this CD will be there, and it'll be a lot. And my favorite group, too, the Another Mule, will be kind of backing up Jason Krekel.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great. Steve, I can't thank you enough for coming in the studio today and talking with me on the Rusty Satellite Show, and we'll look forward to Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll see you guys Saturday night, 8 o'clock.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers.
Yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines
yeah.
and Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, and that is Saturday night down at Saints is the opportunity to pick up one of those CDs with Tim Krekel's friends playing music written by Tim Krekel, and what a great event that's going to be. Looking forward to it. All right, so this part of the show, as regular listeners know, I talk about some things that are on my mind affecting me and maybe your world too. So, but first up, I want to talk a little bit about my son Luke, who is 19. He and I basically go out to lunch every week, and today we had a nice discussion. Luke is unusual in many ways. One of the things that is really interesting about him is he is a big follower of news, and I don't know how many 19-year-olds you know that are followers of national news and and not just the fun stuff, you know, stuff like economics and the future. Though he's really interested in climate change, and we had a discussion today about that. In fact, he bought a book about economics that was thick that I couldn't have gotten through if you'd have paid me. But he is very avidly interested in those things. And he was telling me today that following the news, in addition to being unusual for somebody his age, it can be sort of depressing. And he said this was an especially bad week. There's bad news about climate change. You know, the whole fact that America pulls out of the Paris Climate Accord. You know, that is really affects the psyche and the mindset. I don't know who watches the nightly news or cable news. You know, people who take a lot of drugs, because all the advertisers, of course, are pharmaceutical companies. But if you do that, but I think I get some real information from like watching Bill Maher on Fridays and from watching John Oliver and occasionally watching The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. You know, those are an entertaining way to present the news, even when the news is terribly depressing, like it is with climate change. You know, he was saying, Luke was telling me that it's a given for people of his generation to believe that climate change is real and it is going to affect us. And it's these old guys, these old politicians that have these old ways of thinking, I guess, that deny it, that can look science in the face and say, no, I don't believe it. And Luke was just making the point that that's kind of depressing. Along with all the other stuff that Trump does, he doesn't pay as much attention as I do to like what's going on with Governor Bevin around here and the despicable things. Did you hear that Governor Bevin last week? I don't know if I talked about this before. I may have a guest on to talk about this in the near future, but his solution to the violence problem in the West End is to have everybody go out and pray. The governor of our state has a solution for violence, and it involves getting everybody to go out and pray. I'm not kidding about that. That's what he really thinks. So, you know, that's kind of a bummer. And then the local news is all about crime and weather. And unfortunately, there's a lot of shootings, especially in the summertime. It seems like there's more, and there's controversy over the police and how they handle all the shootings. And it's hard to take some time. But a lot of people I know and a lot of people Luke knows don't even bother to pay attention or watch the news. And I was telling him at lunch today about the contrast between that and how it was, say, when I was his age, when there was a collective consciousness because everybody read the newspaper and everybody watched the same local TV news. And you had something to talk about with people. And it was a hot topic of conversation. So anyway, enough old man stuff. That's the way it used to be. But, you know, today it's a whole different world. And it's so easy, even though there's more information available about issues, it seems like we know less because people genuinely don't take the time to get themselves educated about important issues of our time. So that's how you get a guy elected as president, a guy elected as governor, who sort of, I think, sort of hoodwinked people into voting for them. They didn't know the facts. They didn't know the truth about what these guys were espousing on the campaign trail. I'm talking about Trump and Bevin. So anyway, that's my rant about politics. There's some brighter news. I was driving down 65 a week or two ago. I saw this billboard with the name Bryson Tiller on it, and I said, I have no idea who that was. He was apparently a recording artist. Well, I found out today. As you know, I'm a driver for Lyft, and I picked up a couple of young ladies this morning near U of L, and they were so excited. They were so excited because they were going to Wyandotte Park to see Bryson Tiller, who is a 24-year-old musician. And when I looked it up, I was so happy to see he went to Iroquois High, just like me. Just like me. And Bryson Tiller is a renowned American singer. He's a rapper, a songwriter, born right here in Louisville, has made quite a name for himself, so much so that he was on Fortune magazine's list of 30, I believe it's 30 under 30, it was a list of 30 people very influential as entrepreneurs and performers. So this guy that I had not heard of before this week is really a big deal on the national stage. And what he did this week, why he was at Wyandotte Park, he was donating. He got together with Nike and they donated basketball courts. They apparently resurfaced those basketball courts over there. I grew up in that area. Wyandotte Park has long been a place that people go to play basketball, and it's a great playground. Great playground for basketball. So anyway, they got a brand new facility, new courts over there, and there were a lot, I mean a lot of people at 9:30 on a Wednesday morning going over there to see Bryson Taylor. Bryson Tiller, and he had a concert. You've missed it if you're listening to this, but he had a concert Wednesday night as well. So it's great to know a guy that is making a national name for himself from my high school is also doing some good things for the neighborhood. He's giving back. So anyway, Bryson Tiller, remember that. All right, I also want to talk about, there are some other people in the news I just thought was very interesting. Did you hear about this guy that signed with U of L basketball named Brian Bowen? He's like one of the top 15 players in the country and was not committed. And somehow he just showed up on campus. It was like it fell in Rick Pitino's lap that he has this outstanding player, and the prospects for the coming season have just shot way up for the Cards in basketball. Ding Adele is acclaimed to be by Pitino. Pitino did an interview with Terry Miners this week and talked about this, how athletic his players are going to be this year, the most athletic team he's ever had. Very exciting stuff. And this Brian Bowen, his nickname is Tugs, and apparently he is the real deal. And that's going to be an exciting thing for us to have around when U of L basketball season comes around. They also had the U of L football. They had the Governor's Cup luncheon, which I think is doomed. I don't think there's much enthusiasm for the thing anymore since they play the football game at the end of the year. Not much news came out of that thing. It was held in Frankfurt, and it's just designed to get us thinking about football. It was really a big event when it was held like only a month or 6 weeks before the first game, which is at the end of August. So anyway, be aware U of L football is going on. But the big story around U of L is the baseball team, which this weekend will be playing the University of Kentucky. That's right, for a chance to go to the College World Series. In basketball terms, that would be like the regional final before you go to the Final Four. And Louisville and Kentucky are playing each other. They both had great seasons. And the funny thing, if you've ever been over to Patterson Stadium, it's a cool place to watch a game. But they sold out of all the available tickets like on Monday. The game's Friday at noon. The first game is a three-game series, Friday at noon, Saturday at noon, and then if necessary, they have a game on Sunday. Nationally televised. This is the real deal. This is really something. The coach over there at U of L, Dan McDonald, who's been on this show, is just outstanding at his craft. He is able to motivate, even though he loses players every year. They just keep coming back. They've been to the World Series, I think, three times in the last 10 years. And let's hope they whoop the Wildcats and make it a fourth, right? Heck yeah. So did you hear the other news in town? At the Mall St. Matthews, they're going to have a Dave and Buster's, believe it or not, which is a really big deal. Dave and Buster's in other cities is, it's a destination. It's a place you go. They have games. It's a it's a place for food and drink and games and all that. So it's kind of a good thing to have one coming right here to Louisville, Kentucky. I remember back in the day, maybe 10 years ago, I don't know how long it was, there's a place called Jillian's that was a lot like it. They said, oh, Jillian's is like Dave and Buster's, and if we only had a Dave and Buster's here in Louisville, that would be the thing. But no timetable on it. The news report that I saw did not have a timetable on when the Dave and Buster's would open, but it's going to be on the second floor of the Mall St. Matthews. So that's coming. Look forward to that. All right. I want to get to Pai Cherasika now, because Pai's a great guy. We couldn't figure out how long ago, but I met him originally because he was advising my mother, believe it or not, my dear mother, Dorothy, passed away in 2010. But early 2000s, I think, he was representing a financial services company and came over and talked to my mom, and I came over and listened, and you know, he became good friends with my mom, and she talked very highly of him, and so I've been sort of keeping up with him, with his brother's stuff going on. And Pi is he is an entrepreneur at heart. I tell you, this company called Sippin is he's got a partner who is an expert in technology and coding, and but Pi is the outside guy. He has the personality, he has the speaking ability, and the enthusiasm, I guess, that a fledgling company like Sippin needs. And you'll hear a lot about how Sippin got started, and it's a very social thing. They got a long way to go. They got to raise some money. They've got to do a lot of things, but I tell you, the thing it reminded me of, it's not a dating site, remember. He'll be quick to remind you, but it reminded me of that. I think I mentioned in the interview the you know, the movie I Love You Man with Paul Rudd. You ever seen that movie where he's getting ready to get married and he doesn't have any friends? He has to go out and find a best friend to be best man at his wedding and all that. Well, anyway, if Sippin were around, I guess it would have been easier for Paul Rudd in that movie to, you know, to find a friend with comedy. They've got the secret sauce here with this company is an algorithm that determines some of the compatibility factors, I guess, that go into it. But anyway, it's a very interesting concept and company. And even though it's you know, not off the ground, I thought it was interesting enough to be a part of the Rusty Satellite Show. I think you're going to enjoy the interview. And here it is.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde,
Stephanie White,
and we are 40ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
I'm with Pi Cherisica, who is going to help me find some new friends. Right,
that's right,
Pi?
That's right. I'm going to help you with a new mobile app that we've developed called Sippin, pretty much a social app, where in real time it can help you find like-minded people where you have the greatest probability of having a good time.
Okay. Like-minded meaning I like to drink and you like to drink.
Well, no. It doesn't necessarily have to be that at all. I mean, I'm sure that's for some people that's what it might be, but really it's about looking at your personality, coupling that with your interests, and then finding people that would naturally, you know, fit with that, you know.
Okay.
And being able to go out and have a good time with those people is something I think a lot of people would like to do, especially when you're moving to a new town.
Sure.
Or, you know, you're in a situation where you're just interested in meeting new people. So.
Well, I'm sure people get confused. You know, I'm all set in the girlfriend category, but this is not about dating.
No. So this is not just a dating, you know, mobile app. I think there's a ton of those out there. It's not exactly what we wanted to do at all. As I've told you, look, if you want to use it for dating, that's great, but that's not the idea at all. The idea is just to be able to go out and meet new people, you know, in a given venue. Because I think so many times that you know, as a guy who's been divorced, or if you're a new college student, or someone graduating from college, I should say, and moving to a new town, it's very difficult to meet new people in a town, particularly like a city like Louisville, where there's a lot of social groups and people kind of have their cliques and networks already established.
Yeah, they don't get out there as much with other people.
No,
it's
not
like,
at all.
Hey, where did you go to high school?
Right, exactly. Okay. So what if we could build an engine where, you know, you can actually meet people that you would naturally get along with, you know, in a pretty cool spot that you may not have thought about before.
So a cool spot, like, so you imagine, and this product is in development now, so you can't actually go out and use it, but the idea would be there's this place and there's a bunch of people that are on Sippin there.
So if we've got a number of people using Sippin, well, you've got a number of different choices, actually. We actually can show you what spots in the area you may like. We can show you what we call hot spots, which is places where you have the highest probability of having a good time with the people who are currently at that venue as well. Okay. So ideally what will happen is you'll be able to pull up in real time on your mobile app if there are people that are like you at that particular venue. Right. So other people that are Sippin as well, you'll be able to track and see where they are and to see, you know, if you'd actually enjoy hanging out with them.
So I say, I'm the guy with my nose in the phone by the fern. Right. And then they can come right over. And
well, you know, ideally what we've looked at doing is provide notification for people. If you're in that, in that proximity. Okay. We use geolocation to actually kind of track where you are, and it'll actually tell you or notify you that you happen to be sipping with somebody within a certain area. So you'll get a notification that someone in that particular venue is sipping with you. You know, you may not see them.
And you get a picture of them.
Well, we're doing profiles.
Okay.
So you'll be able to build out a profile if you want to a certain extent, but maintain your anonymity if you want that as well.
Wow. Well, that's fun. Well, what? I mean, there are a million apps, it seems like, out there for people that want to meet other people in various situations or whatever.
Right.
What got you into the idea of doing it? What made you think this was a good idea?
I had always wanted to build something that had some social, you know, possibilities. I really like the idea of getting out and being with people and hanging out. And as I told you before, and it's funny, my partner and I have similar stories, but mine was that I got divorced, you know, 5-6 years ago. A lot of my buddies, you know, didn't want to hang out anymore. They weren't wanting to pop into like the local bar with a bunch of 23-year-olds. They got kids, they got family. You know, but on my nights off, I'm sitting at home twiddling my thumbs. So what's a guy like me supposed to do in that situation? Well, there's a need there, but there was no avenue for me to pursue in order to get that done.
Wow.
So this was a neat way for me to say, okay, if I want to go out and meet new people because most of my friends are tied up at home with their kids, their wife, et cetera, right. You know, how do I do that? This answered that call.
Okay.
My partner, in the same light, is graduating from college. Still lives here in Louisville, but says, hey, you know, I want to get out in town, but I don't want to go hang out in Greek life anymore. I don't want to go hang out at the fraternity, the sorority anymore. Yeah. You know, how do I meet people? So it was a really neat way that targeted two markets for us to go out and new people that we wouldn't naturally be exposed to, and also give people some cool venues in town that they probably wouldn't think of.
Okay. So it's a cool idea, and you know, there's a million cool ideas, but what do all cool ideas like this take? Money, right?
That's right.
So what's your plan for that?
So we are still in the process of finding investors. We're certainly seeking people that would be interested in being involved with what we're trying to do. Certainly it takes a lot of work, and my partner's involved in doing a large degree of that. But you know, capital investment is always important. So trying to find people that have a natural affinity to what we're doing or are interested in potentially investing in something like that, and see how that could have traction, not only in Louisville, but in other major cities, would be very important for us as we go forward. So that's obviously something that we're seeking, you know, as we go forward in the next couple of years.
Well, hey, I got an idea for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. On this show a while back, your brother, Ben, you know, I think we ought to call him and get some money out of him.
I think I'll mill timber as much as I possibly can. I'm not afraid to do that again. The older brother gets that privilege every now and again.
Well, there you go. But I mean, I remember your whole family though it seems like is very motivated, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Tell me a little bit about your background.
My dad came to this country a long time ago through a missionary program, and has you know done pretty well, but also been very hungry to go out and do something for the community and you know, feed his family as well. And so I think we get a lot of that drive from not only him, but my mom as well. She's a consummate academic. And, you know, all four of us, I have a brother, obviously, you know, Tendai, and then I have two sisters as well, have all been kind of driven to do the best that we can. And this is just one of those things.
The sisters are slackers, right?
Well, no. They do pretty well themselves, that's for sure. But this is just something that I felt was such a cool thing to do and would be a great way to give back to our social scene here in Louisville and as well as the community. And then something where we thought that, hey, it's a need that's out there for a lot of people in a lot of different towns, and they just don't know how to express it. So instead of just being the basic dating app or something like that, we're going to put you up with real people in real time, in real places, and have a great time.
Okay. Well, ultimately, let's peer into the future.
Sure.
The ultimate success of sipping.
Yep.
Is what?
How, the idea. How does it look? I want you to be able to use it as a default to going out. You know, when you're going out, what do you usually do? You're like, well, where are we going to go? Are we going to Facebook to look and see where we're going? Are we going out with where our friends are going? If you don't have that capability, it would be nice for you to use this app as an instrument. You know, a way to gauge where some cool places to go would be. So ideally, you pull this app up, you look and say, okay, here's the things I want to do in this city right now. Let's go check some out. So if I can get to the point where sipping's being used as a metaphor for a relationship between people, and they're using this app as, you know, a way to find new vicinities and new venues to hang out as, then everything that we've wanted has come to fruition.
Okay, well, you know, I'm a business guy too, and mm-hmm. and I know the main question that business people like me ask when this happens is, how are you monetizing this?
Monetize it a couple different ways. I mean, the biggest thing is the more fun you have, the more likely you are to stay at a venue, mm-hmm. right? So if you stay at a venue longer, what's happening? You're going to buy more drinks. You're going to eat more food. There's a greater likelihood you're going to tell more people about the place that you were at. And there's a good chance that if a bar owner, venue owner, you know, is able to see that, mm-hmm. he's willing or she's willing to pay for that, right? So ideas to package some of the data that we're able to receive and ultimately be able to sell it back to people, you know, for, you know, some type of price. That's one way to look at it. Advertising will also be pretty key. So okay. having people be able to use the app and have them continue to come back to the app is important. So if you have people that are using it on a consistent basis, carrying advertisers or people that want to advertise their business to that particular target market will also be important. So we foresee being able to drive some revenue through advertising costs as well.
Okay. Okay. And like the last thing, when you talk about the profiles and how it's different from, it's not like a dating profile. It's not like a Facebook profile.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to make sure that I find somebody that I want to be buddies with?
Well, that's the special sauce. I can't give that away. Oh. if I give you that, everybody can do it.
We have breaking news here on the Rusty Satellite Show. But there's some different way.
So essentially what we've done is we're able to basically look at your personality, couple that with your current interests through Facebook, and then put that into an algorithm to see what the likelihood or the probability is that you're going to get along with other people in a particular venue. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay.
And the math behind that, you know, the algorithm that we've built, that's kind of our little proprietary deal, but hopefully you get the point.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
We'll try it out now. So, okay, we got to wrap it up. But
yep.
How do we try it? When can I guess there's a Facebook page. Right?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page which I'd love you all to go out and like. You can go look at it. It's Sippin. We've got several likes. We're posting things about our progression and how things are going right now. And I usually update it as often as I can. You know, every couple of weeks. I don't want to spam you to death, but at least have some cool things that are happening with the company as we speak. And then obviously sippin.org is the best way you can look for us. So that's sippin.org. You can pre-register for our launch at there, right there on that page. And we should be looking to have a formal launch sometime about 2 to 3 months out. But obviously we're going into beta testing here shortly and should have a product for you guys sooner than later. So we're really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, I'll be sure and jump on there and find myself a buddy.
That's right. That's right. Multiple buddies.
All right, Pi. Thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite.
You got it. Thank you so much for having me.
That was a great interview with Pi Cherisica. He's got contagious enthusiasm, I tell you. So anyway, the backstory there is he didn't really know we were doing an interview for the show when I came over. He just wanted to tell me about this exciting concept. Sippin, the name comes from what they used to do back at his fraternity house. So anyway, great to have Pi Cherisica on. Great to have Steve Eilers. Just met him, a wonderful personality. I can't imagine anybody not enjoying being in his company. He'll be at the big party Saturday night at Saints. A lot of performers there, a lot of exciting stuff with a bunch of local musicians. So I'm truly fired up about that. A few things I want to remind you about before I let you go. LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city, is the website where you can find all sorts of news about what's going on in town. I always post events and big pieces of news that are going on. And so check that out. You might find something to do there if as you're waiting for Sippin' to become a real thing that you can use, right? Because that'll help you find out where to go and what to do with like-minded people. But anyway, the Rusty Satellite Show is sponsored by my friends at Passport Health Plans and those at Eye Care Institute on Story Avenue in Butchertown. Both of them, I can't say enough about how grateful I am to have them along, and it's the reason I've been able to get up to 205 consecutive weeks producing the Rusty Satellite Show. So thanks again for joining me. Please tell your friends to listen to podcasts, and including this one and others here, right here on the Louisville.am network. Dan Vonderheide is the big chief here, and there are I think, 7 or 8 different podcasts that are produced out of these offices in this studio. So it's a good thing. We need to get more listeners and more momentum. You could, you know what? If you called me, you could probably get this studio named for your company. Wouldn't that be cool? Encourage you to get in touch with me anytime you like. rick@louisvilleky.com is my email address, and I'll be happy to, you can look me up on Facebook, and I'll be happy to send me a message, and we can talk on the phone or whatever if you'd like to be a part of this show in some way. So anyway, that's going to do it for now. Until next week, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes into buildings every time I